Welcome once again to the Quincast Weekly Wrap-Up, where we chat about the happenings of the past week in the world of sports, wrestling, and entertainment. I'm Chrissy Rios, the founder of Quinn Media, and I'm here with my co-founder and co-host, Seth Knapp. You can find us hanging out on Twitter by following me at the Quinn Bee. Follow Seth at Fearless Fandom, and make sure to follow the team at Quinn Media. So, tonight we're going to talk about the big upcoming WWE pay-per-view, Elimination Chamber. How are you feeling about things going into this pay-per-view?
It's the last pay-per-view going into WrestleMania, so they have a lot of work to do between now and WrestleMania. And this is, I know the road to WrestleMania officially starts at the Royal Rumble, but with this pay-per-view being in between the two, you know, they lay a lot of the groundwork for the matches that will take place at WrestleMania. And I feel like, aside from the predictability of the pay-per-view itself, that they're in a pretty good place.
One of the things that I had heard during the week, and it was on a podcast somewhere, was John Cena saying that this is one of the first WrestleManias that he can recall in some time that they really don't have the groundwork laid, that there's really only one guy that is the draw right now.
That was the Steve Austin podcast, and he was talking about Batista, obviously, because he's the only guy that they have in a position to where the match he will have is set. He will be in the match for the title. Obviously, they don't have it specifically set yet who that's going to be, or at least that's what Cena was trying to say. I don't know that I buy that. From a backstage booking standpoint, I'm sure they know where they're going with that particular match or whatever. But at the same time, that's the one match that actual Elimination Chamber match is the one where I think something unpredictable could happen. There's a precedence for things happening before those matches start. You know, a few years ago, CM Punk got punted in the head by Randy Orton before the Elimination Chamber, and he was the champion going in, and he wasn't even able to defend his title, which I still to this day find to be one of the strangest booking decisions ever, to not have the champion in the actual match, and so it's guaranteed he's dropping the title without even, you know, performing. The year before that, or a few years before that, I'd have to go back and check this, but when Edge stopped Kofi Kingston from going in, and then Edge got in there and ended up winning the match, that was awesome. And not to get too far ahead of myself, but I actually think that something similar to that is going to happen this year.
With a, like, somebody just showing up, you mean, or?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to start from the beginning and then work my way up to that one, since it is the main event. Gotcha. And everything else. So I will definitely get back to it, though.
So the first match kicking off the Elimination Chamber is going to be the Cody Rhodes and Goldust versus Curtis Axel and Ryback.
Yeah. It's a feud that ever since the Rhodes brothers dropped the title, they've been kind of going at it with these guys. I don't necessarily see, you know, where it's going, but it is the dark match. I mean, it won't be dark, but it won't be on the whatever, you know what I mean? The kickoff match. So obviously that doesn't hold a ton of weight. I figure the, Ryback Curtis Axel team will end up pulling that one out, and it will further lead down the road of Cody Rhodes and, Dusty breaking up, and having a match at WrestleMania, even though Dusty has been on Twitter denying that that'll happen. I still think that it will. I think that that's one of the matches that are probably pretty set in stone for WrestleMania, but that's just me also being a little bit of a fantasy fan, you know, kind of thing. I think they need to have a match against each other, and Cody needs to go over on his brother, and it'll help, you know, catapult him even further as far as his career goes.
I gotcha. Maybe. Sort of.
Well, I mean, on the flip side of that, doesn't really do much for Curtis Axel and Ryback to win it either. I mean, they're not going anywhere as a team. Although I don't think either one of them are really going anywhere in the singles right now either. So
yeah, I agree with you there.
We'll see.
It seems to have gotten pretty stagnant for both of them. Yep. It's just there's too many singles matches, I think, right now going on that it's hard to fit that in. And there's a whole lot of tag teams, too. So next up, it's the Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil match.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited for this, to be honest. A lot of people are upset that they broke up, saying it was premature or whatever. I don't find that to be true. They weren't getting a push as a tag team. And Titus, no offense to Darren Young, but Titus has had main event material written all over him for a while. So while I don't think he's necessarily going to get a huge push right now, I do think that he is going to move up into at least, like the Intercontinental title picture, maybe a U.S. title picture, something like that. But he's definitely going to move up the singles rankings, and I think this is where it starts. He may not actually – I'm actually thinking he's going to lose this match so that the feud can go on and they'll wrestle again at WrestleMania, maybe in like one of the early matches or off the card matches, like off the pay-per-view matches. But I do think that this feud will propel Titus up the rankings.
I have to say, I do like the push that they're giving Titus O'Neil. The promos that he's been cutting are very entertaining, to say the least. Absolutely. And when he did the woman scream on the last episode of Raw, it just kind of cracked me up because I thought there's got to be something going on with WWE and the performers and the coaching them to do this, because he and Brock have it down to a science. Okay, so the next match on the card is the New Age Outlaws versus the Usos.
All right, I'm just going to say I don't think they're going to drop the titles here. I don't think the Usos are exactly ready. I know you're not the hugest fan of the Usos, and a lot of what I see on the internet, on Twitter and stuff, a lot of people think they're boring. I tend to disagree, but I can see where they don't offer a lot of people a lot of connection. They got the face paint and the nice shorts, and they do their awesome Samoan entrance and everything. But then after that, they're just kind of an act rather than a good wrestling team. But I do think that they're moving up the rankings. I just don't think this is where the New Age Outlaws drop the title. I think they're going to hold on to it for a little bit longer. And this is another feud that I actually think will go on to WrestleMania. I think this is going to be a repeat match. And there, I think the Usos will take, I think the Usos are going to take the title at WrestleMania. I think they're going to get the belts at WrestleMania. I'm still kind of angry that the New Age Outlaws have the belts at all. Like it's actually really aggravating to me, which I know we covered more than once in since the Royal Rumble when they took the titles, and they took the titles in the kickoff freaking match, which made me even more angry because Cody and Dusty deserve way, way better than that. Anyway,
I don't like whenever they do a title match off camera that right. It changes yeah. hands. I Absolutely. Think that's Absolutely. Focus. I'm with you on that. But now I do want to come back and say on the Usos, I'm actually, after this past Raw.
Are they growing on you?
They really are. And yeah. I loved the way it was kind of the interaction between, and I'm not sure which Uso it was. One of the Usos was, at the commentator table, and he was really batting it up with Road Dogg, and he was just, pitching it out, and he was being so, smacking him back. And I really found that to be very interesting because it showed that he had that kind of really great mic interaction. He was able to carry that kind of feud along. And then they were really, really acrobatic in the end. And I think it's the first time I paid attention to them, which is awful to say, but they really impressed me. And I thought they were actually a better tag team than I've given them credit for.
And you know what I really like about them is along those lines, they're an actual tag team. I don't look at either one of them and say, well, this guy's going to be a breakout star or, I mean, they're brothers and everything else. They're a tag team. They're made for, a made for WWE tag team, which the tag team division is seriously lacking at this point. I mean, I know who the New Age Outlaws are, and they're one of the best tag teams, air quotes, of all time. But, other than them, it's kind of guys put together. But then you have the Usos, who are a legit tag team, and I think they deserve, like, they've done a good job of winning the crowd over, which I'm glad to hear that you're part of that crowd being won over. And like I said, I think they will get the title. I just don't think it'll be here. I think it'll be at WrestleMania,
I agree with
I'm
that.
excited for that.
I agree with that. I think that it's they've got the potential to do it, but I don't see it happening at the
Right,
Elimination
right,
Chamber.
right.
So, all right, let's move on to the next match. We have Big E versus Jack Swagger.
First off, I gotta say, I think it's hilarious that Big E is now Big E. And he's dropped the Langston. I don't necessarily know what that's all about. But rebranding happens. I'm actually gonna go totally against the grain with my pick here and say that I think Jack Swagger is gonna pull this one out. I think that there's gonna be a heel take the title and run with it a little bit, and Jack's gonna have a title to have his excuse to get away from the real Americans. I think they're working to get Cesaro away from the real Americans. So I think this is a good break for them. He wins a title. He has an excuse to break away, and Cesaro is on the rise, which I think we saw after Raw with that match with Cena. I don't think that match could have gotten any more praise than it did. And it totally deserved it. And I think he's going to show really, really well at the Elimination Chamber in the actual Elimination Chamber match. So, with all that said, I think that their imminent breakup comes from this. And I think that Swagger is going to take the title.
I'm not sure about the title change. I do agree this will be the end or the big tearing of the seam in their tag team, and it will be where, Cesaro goes on because the push is obviously in his direction, and he has put on quite a performance lately. He deserves to have some solo light, I guess, is a good way of putting it.
And we talked a lot about well, we talked a little, I don't want to say a lot. We talked a little about the Dolph Ziggler kind of punishment. Swagger was smacked on the nose after his little pot incident last year. And he's kind of been buried in this tag team that they didn't really give a great push. They got a little bit of a push, but not a great push. And the push was more for Cesaro than Jack. And I actually think that this is a he waited it out. So I'm really actually quite confident that he's gonna take the belt Sunday night.
We will see.
Yes, we will.
All right, let's go on to the next, which is actually a pretty big match in the Elimination Chamber for a lot of people. Batista versus Del Rio.
It's a squash.
I have no use for this match.
It's a squash. It's a squash. If this match lasts more than 6 minutes, I'll be shocked.
I'm going to set the timer.
You might as well. I
I will.
honestly, once they're in the ring and the bell rings, if it's more than 6 minutes, I will be shocked. I know that that's really disrespectful to Alberto Del Rio, being a former heavyweight champion and everything, but it's very clear that Batista is being built the way Batista is being built. And that's fair. He's sort of earned it. But I think this Del Rio feud is pointless, and it's just a carryover so that he has somebody to wrestle at the pay-per-view that's in between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. That's really the way I look at it, and I think it's the way WWE is looking at it, and I seriously think it's going to be a squash.
Yeah, I have no use for this match. I really don't. I'm not a big fan of Batista's. I'm one of the few people on the planet who vocalizes that. I'm just not a big fan,
I think
so.
you underestimate that. I think there's a lot of people that don't like him and a lot of people that think he's extremely overrated.
I feel like everybody I talk to is just go Batista, big
I'm
fans,
a
and
fan. I was happy to see him come back. I wasn't happy to see him win the Royal Rumble, but I was happy to see him come back.
well, I was excited to see him come back because he brings a lot of energy. But
Yes.
I really just don't, as a wrestler and taking titles and kind of being at the top of the pyramid, I really have no interest in it for him.
Fair enough.
Yep. So next up, we do have the six-man tag team match, the Wyatt family versus the Shield.
And this is the one where I have no idea what's going to happen. I think it's completely unpredictable. I want to say that the Wyatt family is going to get a victory and Bray is going to look great, which I'm sure he will. I think this match is going to be a long match. I think they're going to allow Bray Wyatt to really get over, and I think they're going to allow Roman Reigns to really get over, and I think Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose have a chance to also shine in their own way because, to be fair, from what I've seen so far, I think Bray is the only one of the Wyatt family that really has a chance moving forward. But on the other side of it, with the Shield, I actually think all three of those guys have potential futures, as far as singles competitors. Obviously, at this point, Roman Reigns is the guy who everyone seems to think is a future multi-champion. And it's hard to argue. He certainly has the pedigree and the look and the ability. So I think this match is going to be interesting. A lot of people are thinking that this is where the Shield makes their last stand as a team, and I think that's certainly a possibility. But I'm not necessarily counting on it because I don't know. Like, I don't see what they would have planned for anybody moving forward. Like we've said, the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania. So whatever you're doing at this pay-per-view has to be purposeful for the next pay-per-view, which is WrestleMania. And I don't see, like, I could see this being a rematch at WrestleMania. I don't necessarily know that they're going to go that way, but I could see it happening. I mean, what else are you doing with any of these guys?
I do think, and this is kind of, I'm on the side of this is the last stand. However, I pull it back a bit and say that this is going to be, because they've been building up to the tension within the Shield heavily. It's not, there's been the tension between Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and it's been
Absolutely.
going on.
Yes.
So I really feel like this is going to be the big setup that will go to WrestleMania, that will, at WrestleMania is
That's where they'll
when.
end completely.
Yes,
I
yes.
actually I believe that you're probably onto the right on the right track there. I think that that's what makes sense to me. I don't think it makes sense for them to be done at Elimination Chamber or the next night on Raw because, like I said, then what are you doing with them at WrestleMania? Maybe you build to a singles match between one of the guys or a triple threat match. I've heard that thrown around actually. I've seen that thrown around on dirt sheets that the rumor is that that they could be in a triple threat match with all three members of the Shield, in a match at WrestleMania. I don't know how that's beneficial because at this point it's pretty clear that it's Roman Reigns that everybody is going to get. So unless you think that that's putting him over more than he's already over those two guys, which I don't think it does, it doesn't make a ton of sense, but.
Yeah, it's the way I've kind of seen this building up. It's been what I've been thinking it's going to be for the past couple of weeks. I do think that I hope something good happens for Dean Ambrose because, quite frankly, he's got amazing mic
Yes,
skills.
he does.
He's just awesome on the mic, and I think there's a lot of potential for him to do something. But again, it's just where does he fall right now because a lot of these pieces are already in place.
You know what's funny? Personality-wise, I think that Dean Ambrose actually fits better with the Wyatt family than he does with the Shield at this point. I think he's got that personality. He's kind of comes off as a creeper.
Yeah, he does.
He just doesn't have the beard. He's missing the beard.
Well, and a layer or two of dirt, but it's really neither here nor there. I mean, he's got, though, it's true. He's definitely creepy, and he's been playing that role up really well. And I hope after WrestleMania he does something and he doesn't just kind of fade away.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's all you, it's hard because when it comes to a team thing, you can get away with looking a certain way or being a certain build or having a certain skill set. But as we're seeing with Daniel Bryan, you know, when it comes to this singles title scene, they really only have so many slots for main event talent, and they're really looking for a specific thing. Roman Reigns fits that specific thing. I don't necessarily think Dean Ambrose does, so I actually do think he's going to wash out as a mid-carder, and that's going to be where he goes. And the same can be said for Seth Rollins. That dude's super talented, but you know, what is he? I don't know what he's offering anybody at this point as a single star. So
Yeah, in the Shield, he's definitely,
the third wheel.
the third in line, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. I
Yep.
mean, he is talented, but he's also not that great on the mic.
Right.
Truth be told, he's
Right.
not. And so that if it's kind of come down to skill man, skill levels, he's not going to cut it in that respect either. He's the first one I say to go. That brings us to the main event, the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. How do you think this is going to play out?
All right, this is where I make my bold prediction for the night, okay? Like I was saying earlier, there's a precedence for people coming into this match who aren't originally booked for it and moving somebody who is booked for it out of the match. The only thing right now with my prediction is I don't necessarily know who is going to get moved out. If I had to guess, I would say it's going to be Christian, only because I think the bringing back of Christian for this match and his ability to take the bumps, I actually don't think. I think Christian is pretty much done, and I don't think he has it in him to take the bumps that this match is going to require. And I think everybody else is pretty up to it. There's no way that Daniel Bryan doesn't perform in this match. There's no way that Sheamus and Cena don't. Orton almost has to, although, like I said earlier, there has been that one time when the champion didn't. But I don't think it's going to be Orton. And Cesaro is on the rocket ship going up, so I think he has to. So my prediction here is that Christian is going to get bumped out somehow. I don't know where, when, or how, but Brock Lesnar is going to enter this match. And Brock Lesnar is going to leave the match as the world heavyweight champion.
Wow,
Yeah,
that is a bold prediction.
I do not see a way. Like, okay, I'm gonna start with this. A lot of people are sending out the prediction, like on Bleacher Report, for instance, they did an odds on who's gonna be wrestling against Undertaker going into WrestleMania, and Brock Lesnar is 4-1. I don't see the benefit to that match whatsoever. So, and I know I'm totally going against the grain with that. But I don't see it. And I think that Orton versus Batista at WrestleMania is just beyond boring and nobody cares.
I do think that's what's going to happen, though.
What? That
Orton and
Orton and
Batista.
Batista? Yeah, I mean, but you know, I'm sick of predictability. So in my own way, I really want to fantasy book this out because I honestly feel that they have to, and maybe they don't, and maybe you're right, maybe they go the safe route, but I'm sticking to it. I think Batista goes in to the Elimination Chamber somehow, and he walks out the champion. I'm just that is where I'm going with it, and I think that it's going to be Lesnar and Batista and Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match at WrestleMania.
Interesting.
That's my big on the ledge fantasy booking slash prediction. I just that's it's not even necessarily what I want to see, but I honestly think that Brock Lesnar finds a way in. He's been quiet. If you've noticed, he's been off of TV for the past couple weeks. And that in itself lends to a surprise, like something big happening. And he was so devastating, you know, trying to prove the point that he is to be reckoned with, and the title was his goal. So to me, you have to do it that way. And, I mean, you have to do it that way. He has to get in there. Whether or not it is Christian or not, though, even as I'm talking right now, thinking about what happened last week with how he went, you know, super aggressive heel Christian, maybe he's not the guy you push out, but I don't know who is.
I have to agree with you, though. I don't think he has. I think he's at the end of that trail.
Absolutely.
And I think he's embraced it at this point.
Yeah.
He knows he's there, and I agree with you on that one, 100%.
Yeah, I think it's got to be him if you're going to push somebody out. I think it's got to be him. And it's no offense to him. He's had a great career. I've never been a huge Christian fan, but he was able to make a singles career where I never thought he would. I always thought he was Edge's sidekick, and that was his glass ceiling, and it wasn't. He made a singles career and won titles and has plenty of fans that will stand by him despite the fact that he wrestled in TNA. So I do think that that's the road you go. Like I said, I went down the list of the other guys, and I don't think you get any of them out unless maybe you get Daniel Bryan out, and that is how you build to get him into that triple threat match at WrestleMania by not giving him his shot. And then you continue to play the crowd against the authority, and that's how you work him into that triple threat match. Because if he goes into Elimination Chamber and say he's the one that loses in the middle of the ring, like he's the one that gets pinned, then you destroy his chances at a title. And I don't think they intend on doing that. Obviously, there's still the potential for Kane or Triple H to get involved. There's so many different angles that they could play. I feel like, you know what? I'm changing on the fly. I'm going to say it's Daniel Bryan that gets ripped off and the crowd goes apeshit. And they do play it, and they play that angle, and it's Triple H that not Triple H. It's because I don't think the Triple H versus Daniel Bryan thing's going to happen. It's Kane that screws Daniel Bryan over and keeps him out of the Elimination Chamber, and they put Brock in because they want Brock to win, and that's the angle they play. And it's Daniel Bryan who gets screwed over. That I'm changing it. That's what I'm going with. It's Daniel Bryan that gets screwed over. And
all right.
And it is Brock Lesnar that walks out of the Elimination Chamber as the champion, and it is Batista versus Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, and Randy Orton is left on the outside to wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania. Sorry, I can't even say that with a straight face. I totally don't mean that in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, but you just put it out there. It's not good.
No, that can't happen. That just...
Oh, my God, no. If it does happen again, I mean, thankfully, I won't be paying for one because it'll be part of my network package. I'd be really pissed if that was a $50 spend or $60 to watch the same match.
I know that the Elimination Chamber is the Elimination Chamber, so it's not exactly the same thing. But I guess it does leave open the potential of a fatal four-way because Randy can still, you know, try and get the belt back, and he still has rights to the whole rematch slash, you know, whatever. So maybe he still ends up in that match and they do it that way if he does end up dropping the belt. But obviously the safe play is to have everything go off without any excitement or swerving, and Randy walks out with the title, and he and Batista point at the WrestleMania sign and make out, and that's how the show ends.
If that happens, imagine the ratings. I mean, from a business standpoint, That would be best for business.
You're ridiculous.
I'm gonna see what happens with the show. I have really no prediction for this one whatsoever, so I'm gonna like coast on yours. Not so sure about the Brock Lesnar thing. I will be genuinely surprised if you nail that one.
Can you imagine just for a second, imagine Brock Lesnar, who is Brock Lesnar at this point in his career, but imagine back where Brock Lesnar wrestled in college and won his national championships. Minnesota. He lives in Minnesota. He lives like miles away from this stadium. He hasn't been on TV for weeks. The play up has been how devastating he is, how ready for the title he is, and that's his goal, and that's all he's settling for, and everything else Heyman has to say. Him not on this card, really? Like, you buy that? You buy that their biggest, not their biggest star, but one of the men that they're paying the absolute most money right now isn't going to show up for the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, and it's miles from his home. I don't buy it for a second. I actually think it screams a little bit of predictability. It doesn't seem like too many people are, thinking that it's going to happen or predicting it to happen. So I'm going to be the one that goes out on the limb. But I really do think that that's what happens. I think he wins the title at this pay-per-view, and it's because he gets into the chamber. And I'm excited for it. If it doesn't ha at this point, if something doesn't happen at this pay-per-view and this goes off to be like boring predictability with no swerves and no fun, no excitement, it's really gonna be a downer going into WrestleMania, more than it already has been with Raws the past couple of weeks.
I absolutely agree with you. I do think they need to do something for some reason, and I don't know why. I just kept thinking it's going to be Taker that was going to show up at this in some fashion. Maybe not at the chamber itself, but in some fashion
I don't know
to
how that
kind of start.
works.
I just had a feeling he would somewhere along the way, and I don't know why. Maybe it's the close of the show. They kill the lights, the chime rings through the stadium, and it's the Taker symbol that he's arrived. But in some fashion, I just kept it's been in my head that he's going to the appearance will happen,
Okay,
the
so
acknowledgement will happen.
since we're going to run down this road, I'll go with it for a little bit just for fun. Do you have an idea of who you think he's going to face at WrestleMania, since you seem to think he will be back for WrestleMania?
I don't. I mean, I really don't. I don't know who. I at this point, everything is either it's going to be completely on the predictability path and he won't be there because there's no room for him,
Oh, no. There's no such thing
or
as no room for Undertaker at
but
WrestleMania.
okay, but then with that said, I have to agree with you. I don't know where it gets put together at this point unless Corporate Kane becomes the target for being Corporate Kane.
I hadn't really thought about that. That actually seems like it could be semi-logical. I got, there's part of me that thinks that Daniel Bryan may actually get a shot at Taker this year, because if you're not going to give him the title shot, clean, like a clean title shot, then giving him Taker is like the next best thing, because the Taker match on the WrestleMania card is essentially the main event anyway. No matter where they put it on the card, it's the one that the audience cares about even more than the championship. So if you give him Taker, that's a really good way to stay on the good side of the fans. But I don't know how they build that one. I'm actually still holding out that Taker is going to be facing Sting at this WrestleMania. I know that at this point, with all the scuttlebutt, it seems like a complete stretch that that's a possibility. But I'm still holding out hope that they can get that figured out, or that they already have, and that we're all fools for not thinking that they have. But that is what I would like to see more than anything.
Yeah, I don't. That one, I honestly, I don't think is. I would be shocked. I think it would be really awesome, but I don't think that one is gonna come through. It seems like there was too much already proven that it, I shouldn't say proven because proven is, very fact-based, but I feel like there's been enough evidence out there that says it's not a go.
See, I don't agree with that. I think there's enough, like, I think as far as the rumors go that he hasn't, that WWE doesn't have him signed to a contract yet. I think that there are as many rumors that they do and what kind of contract it is. There's so many conflicting reports that I think that there are plenty of people doing the purposeful misleading, that it reeks of they have it figured out and they're doing the misinformation bit that they do.
Yeah, but in the same breath, then you could turn that and say
That they don't, and
it's the
that,
opposite. It's just fans who really want to see it happen,
yeah,
puffing it up.
that's fair enough. Everything I've gathered at this point is that everyone seems to like the general consensus seems to be that it'll be at 31, that's when it'll get done. I personally think that that's ridiculous. If you can get it done now, you get it done now. These guys are at those ages. Somebody on Twitter or something was like, "What's one more year?" Well, one more year to guys their age and their condition is a lot, and it's asking a lot for them to even, not to be too melodramatic, but to stay alive, because they're not. They're old men, especially as professional wrestlers who have both been doing this for a very, very long time. So 1 year is a whole year, I don't if you the minute you can get it done, you get it done, in my opinion.
No, I would agree. If it is going to happen, they should do it right away. And for the sheer point too, that if Sting is not going to be in Impact, he's not going to be working, which kind of means then the wheel begins to get rusty,
No,
so to
see,
speak. And
I don't, and there's no chance of that. That's done. He is going to be part of the WWE, or he is already. The only debate right now is whether or not he's going to get to wrestle, and whether or not he's going to wrestle this year, and whether or not he's going to get Taker. The rumors are really just about whether or not they're going to let him wrestle, because of his health, A. And B, him saying he wants Taker now, and the rumors saying that that's not going to happen, and that they only want him as like a WCW ambassador to help sell all the WCW footage that they're going to have on the network. So, one way or another, over the next month, or maybe the day after, the Monday night after WrestleMania, so in the next 2 months, at some point, Sting is going to appear in the WWE. That's going to happen. That is almost 100% assured. The only question right now is in what capacity and when. I would like to believe that it's going to be very soon, and that it's going to be kind of shocking because it's going to be sooner rather than later, and that it will be to set up a match with Taker. That's my take.
Yeah, I've not followed it close enough to speak any further on it, so
Right
I have to
on.
back out of
All
that.
right. So yeah, I don't I think that's pretty much I think we pretty much have it all covered. So Brock Lesnar is the champion.
You've
Hey,
got
that pretty much sums it all up.
so you've got Brock Lesnar as the champion. You have the Wyatts winning.
I
You
do.
have, I almost called him Barista again, Batista. It's the worst thing ever. You have Jack Swagger. You have, I believe you said the Usos.
Yes, no, I did not.
You said the
No, the
Outlaws.
Outlaws, yeah. I don't think the Usos win here. They
Okay.
win at Mania.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I recall you saying that now. I'm sorry. And then you had Titus O'Neil.
Yes, no. No. I have Darren Young winning that match. I have Darren Young winning that match. I have the Outlaws winning their match. I have Jack Swagger winning his match. I have Batista in a squash. I have the Wyatt family winning because the Shield continues to disintegrate. And I have Brock Lesnar winning the title after pushing Christian out of the match. And then in the dark match, I have Axel and Ryback. Those are my picks going into Elimination Chamber.
All right, well, we'll see how they pan out.
Yeah, hopefully pretty well. I don't want to feel like too big of an idiot. Obviously, I mean, I wouldn't put any money on any of this. But I have a tendency to want to be confident that they're going to give a good show and some unpredictability in order to keep wrestling fans happy, which some nights they do better than others.
That is true. You have anything else you want to chime in about the Elimination Chamber?
No, I'm good.
All right, well then let's wrap this up. I want to say thanks to my co-host, Seth Knopp. I am Chrissy Rios. And don't forget, you can follow us both on Twitter at Fearless Fandom and The Quinn Bee. Also, we'll respond to any questions, comments, or thoughts on the show. Just hit us up on Twitter at Quinn Media and use the hashtag QuinnCast. Thanks for joining us and tune in on Sunday after the Elimination Chamber when we go over the coverage of the show. Thanks. Talk to you guys later.